Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Miss B. I'm the kids coordinator here at Vintage Faith, and each week we like to have an activity for kids to do alongside the sermon, or if you're a creative adult, feel free to join us. This week we're celebrating Pentecost Sunday, so what better way to celebrate than with birthday cake? Kiddos, we are going to be designing a cake today, so I'm going to tell you what supplies you'll need and give you 1 minute to go get it. Either grab a piece of paper and some markers, or feel free to grab some Play-Doh, okay? If you guys have any Play-Doh, go ahead and grab that. I heard that was really fun last week. Or if you want to use anything else that you have at home, go ahead and grab whatever you have at home and bring it back, and I will explain the instructions. 1 minute. Ready, set, go. Do we have what we need? Awesome. So I did two ways. I did one with Play-Doh for an example, and then one on a piece of paper with some markers. So I'll show you both, but again, feel free to use whatever you have at home. So this is what I did with the paper and the markers. I just drew a three-layer cake, okay? Three-layer cake, because Pastor Matt's going to give us 3 points that we're going to listen for, okay? And with this one, I just did a little three-layer Play-Doh cake. I don't know if you guys can see that, but so that's what I created, but I can't wait to see what you guys create, okay? So feel free to decorate it if you want to take little things and make little confetti on them, or I put little candles on this one. Same thing with your art. I put little sprinkles on here. I love strawberry cake, so put little candles on there. Decorate it however you want, and then go ahead and listen to the 3 points that Pastor Matt is going to give you. I can't wait to see your delicious creations, and I'll meet you back here for a little recap after the sermon. Thanks, kids.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Vintage Faith. It may be morning for me. I don't know if it's morning for you, but wherever you are, thank you so much for tuning in and enjoying church with us. And it's just a real pleasure to get to lead us in this time of not only worship earlier with Andy, but also this time of hearing from God's Word. So just welcome. And again, if I didn't introduce myself, I will now. My name is Matt Kladnick, and I pastor a terrific church in Los Angeles called Vintage Faith. So good morning. Welcome. Let's do this together. You know, before we really get rolling into the sermon for today, which I'm really excited to deliver, there's a little moment here where I just want to take a little pause. And this week has been a little bit crazy and significant for lots of reasons. What has happened this week concerning the passing of George Floyd? And so I just want to pause and take a minute. And, you know, I realize as a pastor, I have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel, and we're going to do that. And part of Jesus's message centered around these ideas of injustice. And injustice was a topic very loud, very prevalent in Jesus's time, and it is still loud and prevalent. So I want to take this opportunity from my pulpit here today just to address what I see happening and how as a church and how us as just human beings ought to be responding during this really crazy time. So I'm just going to simply read a statement that I've written, and we'll go from there. So I hope you'll pay attention, and just I want you to see my heart for you and my heart for our nation during this difficult time. So here it goes. The events around the death of George Floyd is a painful reminder that we live in a desperately fallen world, full of injustice and indifference and apathy. There is so much wrong with what happened and how it happened. I am reminded that Paul says in 2 Corinthians that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So part of our unique mission while here on earth is that we look for ways to reconcile people with one another and with people back to God. And so this isn't the time for us to be quiet, but a time for us to use our voices, and more importantly, to use our actions to promote reconciliation in all of its varied forms. So let's be people that build bridges and not walls. That's just kind of what I wanted to communicate to you. And I know some of us are feeling deep anguish and pain and confusion. And as a white 43-year-old male, I just don't get it. And I just don't understand. I simply don't understand. And I want to understand. And I hopefully fit a large segment of our population that just is walking humbly into all this, saying, God, would you teach us, show us how we can react and respond. But I just want to take a minute and pray. God, would you give us wisdom and discernment as we lean in during these difficult times? God, I pray for the Floyd family, that you would bring them peace in their loss. God, I pray that you would bless our nation and our leaders with wisdom with how to handle this. God, help us to be a people that promote reconciliation in any way and every way possible. God, give us your peace, give us your power so we can move forward in the things that are important to you and that are on your heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, there is really no way to transition from a moment like that to kind of some of what I want to talk about today. But if you will let me, this is kind of like going from first gear to fourth gear. So let's just have a little abrupt shift and get into what I want to talk about today. And so just, okay, we're there. Today I want to talk to you about a very important topic, and it is the topic of Pentecost Sunday. Now, this is a message that is very important for all of you, no matter where you are, who you are, or where you are in your faith journey. This message of Pentecost Sunday, it is for you. So I just want you to see that. And if I could, just take a second here and say, if you were in my church family right now, and if I was in the pulpit facing the congregation, all the seats, this would be a moment where I would say, lean in. I would say physically, change your posture and lean in a little bit. Pay extra attention. I would love to look you in the eyes and say that God wants to speak to you today. So my prayer is God would speak to you, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, that you'd be attentive to God's voice right now, because I think he has something special that he wants to teach you and share with you and encourage you with. So would you receive the message as it comes forth today that it would impact your life, okay? If you have no idea what Pentecost Sunday is, you are in great company. I went to 4 years of Bible college, and I went to 3 years of seminary. I went to seminary for 6 years to get the three-year degree, but I went to an awful lot of schooling to get my master's degree in theology. But I want you to know that even after all that schooling, I had a very rudimentary idea of what Pentecost Sunday was. And it wasn't until I was a pastor myself and my preaching fell on a Pentecost Sunday that I thought to myself, I need to figure out what this is. And so if you don't understand what Pentecost Sunday is, and if this is a term that is foreign to you, then welcome. This is a safe place. You're okay. We're okay. We're going to learn about this together, okay? But again, this message is for you. And I hope that whether you are seasoned in your faith or you are simply investigating Christianity from your couch, there's something for you today, okay? You know, what God did 2,000 years ago to launch the church is the very same thing that he can do to you and in you today. Again, the thing that God did 2,000 years ago to launch the church into its existence as we are experiencing, God can do in you today, right where you are. We're going to learn about the birth of the church today, and we're going to learn about what happened in that moment. And I want you to understand that what happened 2,000 years ago to launch the church, God can do in you right now today, wherever you may be. Okay, so that's encouragement. Let me read a scripture today that's going to frame our time together. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, this was the fulfillment of something God promised for us. And before these events, before the tongues of fire, before this whole moment in the upper room, Jesus promised something very specific. And let me read you the promise. And that happened just verses ahead of this in Acts chapter 8. This was the promise that the church walked in, as we just read about. "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Pentecost Sunday represents the day that the Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus, shows up and the church was born. And if you will, and you give me the liberty here, we are celebrating today the birthday of the church. So when the Holy Spirit arrived, this well-intended group of religious followers when the Holy Spirit came, all of a sudden this group changed from being a group of people to now being a Spirit-empowered movement. So something happened that changed this group from simply a group that just simply gathered to a group that was now filled with the Holy Spirit and sent off to do miraculous things. This was the moment, this was the defining moment where this gathering of people shifted from just being a people to a people on mission. And not only a people on mission, but a people empowered by the Holy Spirit to go on mission. And you and I, we are the byproduct of this significant moment. We wouldn't have the church like we have it in any of its form today if it wasn't for this dynamic moment. Because what happened here is the church was launched into the world, and we are the beneficiaries of this moment. So today we say happy birthday, church, okay? And I actually think that if you really wanted to celebrate Pentecost Sunday in all of its glory, I think that you should actually bake a cake today. So that's my encouragement to you. Dig up in that cupboard, that cake mix, and that frosting. You should bake a cake today. I don't think you need a good reason to bake a cake, actually. There doesn't have to be a good reason to bake a cake, put some frosting on it, and some ice cream. I mean, I think that would be the best way to celebrate Pentecost Sunday today, maybe for you to bake a cake, put some frosting on it, and enjoy it. Feel free to drop a slice off for the Kladics today as well. And kids and adults, if you're doing the craft today that Miss Bernadette told you about, I can't wait to see your three-tiered cake. It's going to be beautiful. Can't wait to see all the details about it. And as I preach to this, you're going to hear some words, and those words are going to be put on your cake. So pay attention. I'll let you know when we get there, okay? You know, we've been learning about strategies to implement so that we can live victorious lives for Jesus. We've been learning about all these different strategies, and there's been some really great ones. And over the last 5 weeks, we talked about different strategies to implement in our lives so that we can live a victorious life. And I want to tell you that today we finish with the most important strategy. And not that the other ones aren't important, but I would say this is the paramount strategy for you to live the abundant life that God has for you and to walk in victory. And it is this, that walking in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit will be and will always be the greatest catalyst for total life transformation. Let me read that again, because those are a lot of words. Walking in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit will be and will always be the greatest catalyst for total life transformation. You can add some of these other disciplines to your life and they will make your life better in lots of ways, but none of them can make your life as significantly much better as the Holy Spirit can. And so that is what we want to talk about today, is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that came and flooded this early church and launched the church into its existence is the same Holy Spirit that can meet you right where you are right now and totally transform your life. I don't know about you if you want your life changed, or I don't know about you if you need your life changed, but I can say that I need that desperately. I need the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh encounter with the power of God so that I can walk in all of His promises. And so that if I'm just preaching to myself today, that's okay with me, because I believe that there's something dynamic that happens when we make ourselves available for more of God in our lives. And I think some of us have made ourselves available for parts of God in our lives, but we haven't made ourselves available for all of God. And so this is what God wants to do. He wants to show us His power and His might and His strength. He wants to fill us up to overflowing so that we can walk in the abundant life that God has for us, okay? Yeah, I'm preaching right now. Let me say it very simply for us. Experiencing the power of God personally will change everything for you. Experiencing the power of God personally will change everything to you. And I think on the other end of the screen, there were a lot of amens to that statement. Some of you, that is and has been your story. That when the power of God met you in your moment of brokenness and weakness and your moment of desperation, that was the catalytic moment that everything started to shift and change in your life. And if you haven't had that experience yet, then hold on, because I'm going to lead you in it at the end of the sermon today, okay? So Acts chapter 2 tells us about the birth of the church. The church was born this day when the Holy Spirit fell upon it. We read the scripture earlier that they were all together in one accord, and the Holy Spirit came in tongues of fire, and a crowd developed. And it was the fulfillment of this promise that Jesus made, that the Holy Spirit would come and give them power. And today I want to talk about three different words that really jump out to me from the birth of the church that we need to be reminded about today. So there are three different elements that I pick up from the birth of the church that you and I would be wise to make priorities in our lives, both personally and corporately. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how our church functions and how these ideas flush out in our church family. But these are more than just values that our church embodies. These are values that we, as God's people, need to value in our own lives. So there's going to be a corporate aspect to what I talk about. There's going to be a personal aspect to what I talk about too. And so we're going to talk about these three different words, and there's probably a lot of them, but these are the three that jumped out to me the most about what the birth of the church looked like and how we can now remind ourselves of these values, how we can walk in, okay? So number one, and this is the first one for you adults and kiddos in your craft, this is the first word you're going to write down, and it is the word unity. The first element that jumped out to me about this whole birth of the church was unity. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." So I just want to stop there. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. You see, the disciples didn't unite because the Holy Spirit came. They were united and the Holy Spirit came. I just want to highlight that little difference here. They didn't unite because of the Holy Spirit arriving. The Holy Spirit showed up in response to their unity. So there's something there for us, right? We want more of the Holy Spirit. And if we do want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we want the Holy Spirit to show up in profound ways, but we are walking in disunity, sometimes I think our disunity is going to be a block from us experiencing everything that God has for us. So the disciples show us that walking in unity is super important. But I want to tell you that walking in unity, that's not easy. Walking in unity can be really, really hard. You know, our unity creates an atmosphere where we can experience the power of God freely. Our unity creates this atmosphere where the Spirit of God can move freely. And so where there is disunity, it is no wonder that it is hard to experience the power of God, because God moves in our unity and he moves in community. So as we foster relationships that are hedged in and protected and united, we create an atmosphere where we can experience his power more freely. But you know, unity doesn't come easy. And I actually think that unity is something that we have to be really intentional about. Unity is something that we really need to fight for. Unity is really, really hard. And I think this is why Jesus, in John chapter 17, there's this prayer recorded, and Jesus prays specifically that there be unity amongst the believers. This is Jesus' prayer. He prayed that there would be unity amongst the believers. And I have to think that Jesus prayed for there to be unity because he knew that it would be hard. Why would Jesus pray for something that would become quite simple and be quite easy for us? Jesus knew that unity was going to be something that we have to fight for, that we have to protect. And so Jesus earnestly prayed that we would be united and unified. You know, Jesus wasn't praying this just to fill space. Jesus was praying this prayer for you and me. And sometimes as a church, we have to realize that Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, he was hoping that we would experience unity. Because there's something about being united that creates this atmosphere where we can walk in God's promises more bravely and with more courage. And so that is why unity is so important. You may not know this about me, but you're going to learn something about me. But I've got a side hustle. Now, in Los Angeles, everyone's got a side hustle, okay? Seriously, everyone in LA has a side hustle. There's something just about everyone is doing in their off time to kind of create a more influence or to create more income. Everyone is struggling and fighting around us to have this side hustle. And I've got a side hustle. And it's not a glamorous side hustle at all. But my side hustle is I sell things on eBay. Yep, you heard it here first. I have my own eBay store. And I was talking to a friend of mine that lives up in Alaska, and he has a side hustle. And his side hustle is so that he can create an extra revenue stream so that he can buy a cabin in the woods. Good for him to own two homes. But for me, my side hustle isn't to buy another home. My side hustle is so that we can eat. So we all have side hustles for different reasons, but I sell stuff on eBay. Anyways, I came across this porcelain bowl made from Italy, and I looked it up on eBay, and I saw that the same exact bowl was selling for about $15. Now, not a big deal, right? I didn't say it was a good side hustle. It is a side hustle. But I noticed this bowl as I was looking at it and getting ready to take pictures of it and to post it into my eBay store. I noticed it had this crack on the side. And I thought to myself, gosh, I don't want to list this bowl with this fault in it if in shipping it to whoever buys it, it's just going to break in half and then I'm going to have an angry customer with me. And I didn't want to have that. And so I decided to do something. I decided I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on this bowl to see if this hairline crack is a real point of weakness or is it still strong enough and I can feel comfortable moving forward. So I did, and you can picture this. I took this bowl and I just started to push in a little bit and then push in a little bit harder just to see how this crack would hold up. And pushing in a little bit more, the bowl just disintegrated into about a dozen pieces in front of me. And I was like, okay, that just happened. But I want to talk about what this means for us. Unity is something that is best tested when there is pressure around it, right? Just like that bowl, as pressure settled in on this bowl that I wanted to sell, it became clear that this crack was detrimental to the health and stability of this bowl. And much like unity within our church family, when times of pressure arise, we get to see exactly how united we actually are. We actually get to see where are those issues that may come to the surface when the pressure hits. If you're not a part of my church or our church here at Vintage Faith, if you're watching from somebody else, you have a different home church, good for you. But if you are part of our church, Vintage Faith, I just want to brag about us a little bit. This last season, these last 10 weeks or so, there's been so much pressure around us, right? Financial pressure, relational pressure, health pressure, all sorts of pressure from every single angle. But what has been exposed in this season of pressure, we have not crumbled amongst the pressures around us. Actually, what I've seen has been quite different. The pressure that has settled has actually proven a tremendous amount of unity here. And so this season of pressure, I've been blown away by the fact that cracks haven't been exposed, but unity has been exposed. And we have proven, you have proven, that this idea of being the church, it's way more than just a logo on the wall. It's way more than just a phrase we say every week. And how we have managed the pressure around us has actually proven the fact that unity has been and is a priority. That being the church is so important to us that even the pressure that we have faced has not made us divided and made us crumble, but it has actually made us stronger together. So for those of you that are watching that are part of this church, I just want to applaud you and thank you for your investment of prayers and time, because you guys have proven that this idea of being the church and this idea that unity is important, it's more than just some fairy tale, but it is actually something we really embody. So from the birth of the early church, we see this idea how important unity is. As the disciples are together in the upper room, they are united together. And in their unity, something special happens. And which leads us to the next point I want to make here. And so the first element was unity. The second one is this. It is power. P-O-W-E-R, power. Go ahead and write that one down on your art project. Jesus' promise to the early church was that he would send his Holy Spirit and that there would be this powerful moment. And just like any promise of Jesus, it came to fruition. And Jesus' words were this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. And that is exactly what happened. So let me just paint a picture of what happened. So the disciples are in the upper room and they are united, as we talked about, and they are praying. And as the Holy Spirit fell, it says that this tongues of fire landed and separated on all those who were in attendance. And this sound of like a rushing wind came and heard. And it was this beautiful moment where the power of God made itself manifest, which means the power of God made itself real and obvious to the people that were there. And not only to those that were in the upper room, it was so loud and it was so dynamic what was happening in this place that people from outside started hearing about it. And they're like, what in the world is going on? This is crazy. Soon a crowd forms and meets the people right where they are. What I want to tell you right now is when the Holy Spirit fell amongst the disciples, this is what they didn't do. They didn't experience the power of God and go, this is so good. We're just going to stay here forever. This is so amazing. We're going to protect this. We're going to make sure this is just for us. They realized that what God was doing in that moment was so much bigger than they were, but that the experience that they were having, it wasn't just for them. The experience that they were experiencing was for everybody. And so this is what happens. They didn't just open up the door to the upper room and say, hey, we'll just be a couple minutes and maybe one or two of you can come on in. This is what happens. And this is what is beautiful. And this tells us as a church something about how we are supposed to posture ourselves to the world around us. They didn't just seclude and hide their experience in the walls of their building, but they opened up the door and they came out and they addressed the people who had wonder amongst them. And so when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us up, there should be something in us that says, this is so good. This isn't just for me. This is something I've got to share. And that there is such an overflowing. They didn't feel like God had just deposited on them a small amount of his presence that they needed to hoard, but they realized it. And when the power of God met, they were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and that there was no end to what God was depositing in them, that they needed to freely distribute it to the world around them. Let me just drop on you a quote that I've used before, and it says this: God didn't give us his Holy Spirit to make our gatherings epic, but to make our lives effective. So God didn't give us his Holy Spirit so that we could have great services. And I hope this is a great time that we're having right now. But if you are feeling the power of God, even from where you are right now, it isn't so that you feel comfortable where you are. God is filling you to overflowing so that you desire and you long to share it with the world around you. So the Holy Spirit cannot be contained, and it ought to be shared. And the more that we reflect the presence and the peace of God to the world around us, the more his peace floods into our hearts. And so there is never an end to the good things that God wants to do us as long as we are vessels pouring out his love and his grace to the world around us, okay? The goal of the Holy Spirit isn't to help us have great gatherings, but simply that we would do great things. And so when we think about this moment, the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples. They don't invite a couple people to come in. They don't start thinking about holding weekly services. They are commissioned and sent to go and reflect the love of God to these thousands of people. And as the story goes, 3,000 people respond to Peter's sermon and put their faith in Jesus and are baptized in that moment. What a great birthday for the church to have 3,000 people added amongst them right then. Which leads me to our point number three. So point number one was unity. Point number two was power. And our third point today is the word mission. One of the most profound pictures of what it looks like to be on mission for Jesus is the life of Peter. Peter was a bit of a doofus, okay? There's a lot that I can resonate with the life of Peter. Peter made lots of mistakes. Peter was a bit of a bonehead. Peter had lots of ambition, but little wisdom. Peter is the one who made some really big mistakes right around the time when Jesus was given over to the religious leaders, which led to his crucifixion. If you remember, at the Last Supper, Peter gets called out saying that he is going to be the one that denies Jesus three times. And Peter thought, that's ridiculous. Well, as the story unfolds, that is so true. Peter denies Jesus three times. And he's filled with guilt and remorse, and so is Judas. But Peter decides to repent and to turn and re-embrace this love for God and love for Jesus. Well, Peter's one of the people in the upper room in this moment. And the Holy Spirit comes. They're united. The Holy Spirit comes and fills them up. There is wonder outside the room from where they are. There are people curious about what's going on. And I'm looking at this group of 12, and the most unlikely person rises to the occasion. The one who had the biggest mistakes rises to the occasion to go and proclaim boldly the message of Jesus to thousands of people. And it is Peter. And I just want to tell you that this is one of the things that God does, is God has a way of taking our biggest moments of shame and brokenness, and he repurposes them. He heals us, he restores us, and then he gives us the greatest story to tell in response to the miracle that he's done in our lives. So Peter goes from being broken, a failure, a mistake, to now jumping at the chance to address boldly the thousands of people. So God has a mission for your life. And oftentimes God will take our biggest areas of brokenness to use them as his greatest opportunities to reflect his goodness, okay? So there is good news for you. What amazes me is that this hero emerges. And Peter realizes that he has a calling on his life. And in response to to the Holy Spirit's working and activity, he embraces this new mission for his life. And Peter becomes the preacher of Pentecost, delivering a profound message. You should read it in Acts chapter 3. You know, this is a small picture of what the power of God can do in you. And God can meet you, he can restore you, and he can send you on mission. And that's one of the things that has maybe been an overarching theme over these weeks, that God would search our hearts, that he would correct things in us, he would empower us by the power of his Holy Spirit, and he would commission us. And Peter models this so brilliantly for us. So I just want to reiterate these three things. And these are three values that you and I can walk in, not only as a church, but as a person. And so unity as a church is something we fight for. And we fight for unity at just about every single cost we can. Again, and the power of the Holy Spirit is something we anticipate, we look forward to, we walk in, we desire. And as a church, we do that. But as a person, we should be doing that too, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to invade those parts of our lives that are hidden and restore us and empower us for the mission he has for us. And we would be a people and we would be a church that realizes that God has a mission for us, that we exist to do something for him, with him, by his leading and in the power of his Holy Spirit. But you as a person, that God has a mission for you. God has a distinct and a revolutionary purpose for your life that he longs for you to say yes to and walk in. And I think the day of Pentecost, and to be preaching on Pentecost Sunday while we're scattered in our rooms and in our houses is actually a really brilliant thing. Because the church has never been about a big gathering, but it's been about this unique thing that God does personally in each of us, and he sends us on mission. So I'm just going to lead us in a moment here, and I think some of us, we need the Holy Spirit, right? Some of us, we need more of the Spirit of God in our lives. And what a crazy and what a dynamic thing to do to experience the presence of God right where you are. So I'm going to pray for you wherever you may be, your couch, your rocking chair, wherever you are sitting, wherever you are listening, that you would just experience his peace and his presence. And I believe that God wants to meet you right now. So let me just pray for you, and then we are going to continue on, and Bernadette's going to lead us in some more of the activity for our kids. But right where we are, God, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. But God, you didn't stop sending your Holy Spirit. God, as you filled the disciples in the upper room and you gave them the courage to step into the promises you have for them, God, would you do that same thing to us right now? God, for every person that is watching this video right now, wherever they are sitting, God, will we just receive more of your Holy Spirit? God, I pray that there would be a fresh encounter of your power and your might right now, that we would feel you just swelling inside of our lives. God, I pray that you would give us an awareness of the things in our lives that don't belong, that we should abstain from, that we would walk away from, that we would do well to abandon. And God, would you clean house in our life? God, would you set us on fire for the things that you have for us? God, I pray that where there is fear and anxiety and worry, God, that it would be replaced with bravery and courage and peace and joy and happiness. God, I pray that we'd be people that right now on this birthday of your church, that we would have a fresh experience of the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in every good thing you have for us. God, I pray that these values, these elements that were so clearly articulated in the early church can be clearly represented by us today in this church in this new season. So God, we thank you for your peace and your joy. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. And if that's you today, wherever you may be, maybe just with your own mouth, you just say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Wherever you are, say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want a fresh encounter of you today. I want a new encounter of you today. God, would you fill us to overflowing? God, we thank you for your promises, that your promises that were alive and active 2,000 years ago, that they're available for us today. Help us walk in them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. And thank you for joining with me today. Burns, would you just tell us and wrap up some of what we're talking about today? Thanks, and let's be the church.
Thanks, Pastor Matt. Hey, kiddos, let's recap. So the words that you should have heard from Pastor Matt, there's three of them. You should have heard unity, power, and mission. Those are the words that you can write in your cake. Unity, power, and mission. So let's take a look at each of those quickly. Now, it's Pentecost Sunday, right? And the first word is unity. Well, we don't like celebrating alone. So this was a special time that brought so many people together to celebrate. The second word that he said was power. So now sometimes at celebrations, we receive gifts, right? Now, this had to have been probably the coolest gift that any of these people had received. So recap really quick. Jesus was preparing to go to heaven, and he was trying to think of a way to keep his promise to his disciples that he would never leave them. So he sent the Holy Spirit to be with them always. So with that, it gives us a special power. It gives us a power to know and discern when we do something wrong. It gives us a power to feel God's presence and love every day. So know that as believers in Jesus, you hold that within yourselves as well. And the last word is mission. What if 3,000 people showed up to your party? Yeah, crazy, right? But that happened. Over 3,000 people came to Christ at Pentecost and were baptized. They went back to their homes all over the world, shared their story, and that's pretty much a quick summary of how our church began. But the Holy Spirit helps you share your testimonies around with the whole world. So don't keep Jesus a secret. Let that be your gift that you can keep giving and share him with everyone you know. All right, kiddos, thanks for recapping with me. Don't forget to snap some pictures of your yummy, delicious creations and tag us at VFF Kids on social media or just send them straight to me. Don't forget to check out your very own Bible story and activity on our website at vffchurch.com/VFF-kids-online. And each week there is a fun activity. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. So parents, I encourage you to dive into that activity with your kiddos. 5 to 10 minutes. It's super fun, easy to do, and it's a great way to connect as a family on what they're learning on during the week. All right, everyone. Have an amazing week. I miss and I love you all, but Jesus loves you more. Take care. Bye.